Hey, mate. Ready to chat about today's hot topics?
Hey, of course I'm ready. I hope you won't treat me like a kid. I'm all grown up now.
Haha, of course, my dear grown up. Well, let's get started. The first topic of our discussion is the winners of the 2024 Oscar ceremony. I'm thrilled about their achievements. What about you?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm happy for the winners, too. But let's not forget about the more serious issues. There are military actions going on between Ukraine and Russia, and we can't just ignore that. It really worries me.
Absolutely. It's very important. Another topic we'll discuss today is the NATO exercises and the maneuvers of the Russian, Chinese, and Iranian navies. The world is full of events, isn't it? It makes me feel quite excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're here to figure it all out together. It makes me feel a sense of responsibility.
By the way, speaking of music, have you ever thought that listening to songs from the 2000s today is like listening to songs from the 1980s in the 2000s? For example, I recently listened to the song Shiver by Coldplay from their debut album Parachutes, which was released in 2000. And in the same album, there was the song Yellow. You know, their famous song The Scientist was written in 2002 for the group's second album. As they say, old Coldplay is gold. And I also rewatched the video for The Scientist and noticed that Chris Martin, the lead singer of the band, has slightly uneven front teeth. And then I wonder if he's done anything to his teeth in the last 20 years. Has he straightened them? But no, and I'm glad he didn't get veneers, because that's a topic for a long and strange discussion. Good morning, Oatcake. So my movie buff, have you already found out the winners of the latest Oscars ceremony?
Yeah, I'm up to speed. This year's Oscars were pretty predictable, but that didn't make the awards ceremony boring. Many people noted that it was one of the coziest and most heartwarming ceremonies in years.
Oh, interesting. And who were the winners then? Don't keep me in suspense.
The best film was Oppenheimer. The best actor was Cillian Murphy, who played in Oppenheimer. The best actress was Emma Stone for her role in Poor Unfortunates. The best documentary film was 20 Days in Mariupol. And the best animated film was The Boy and the Bird by Miyazaki.
Wow, that sounds impressive. And what about the red carpet? Did John Cena really come out to announce the nominees for Best Costume Design naked?
Oh, you heard about that, but actually he wasn't completely naked, it was just for the show.
Haha. Well, that's certainly something new. So, what about the dresses on the red carpet? Did you stare at them for so long that for a moment you felt like you were in a long, tight dress, feeling uncomfortable and unable to breathe?
Oh, you guessed it, but I especially loved Lupita Nyong'o's dress the most.
Haha, you always know how to tell a story in an interesting way. So what else have you found out? Is it true that the film 20 Days in Mariupol is available on YouTube, but only with an American VPN?
Yeah, and Ryan Gosling sings I'm Just Ken. There's also a 3-minute video with highlights from the ceremony.
Oh, thanks for the info. You're always on the ball. Oh, let's step away from this fun movie world and turn to a more serious topic. Do you remember what happened on the 11th of March in 2020?
Of course. That was the day when the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic of the coronavirus. On that day, there were 117,723 confirmed cases of COVID, 4,258 deaths, and 64,391 recoveries.
Absolutely. And we already knew the genetic sequence of the virus and even developed the first COVID tests. We knew that it was important to wash our hands frequently, to sneeze into our elbow, and to avoid crowded places. But you know what's the funniest thing? We still didn't know how to wear a mask properly.
Yeah, and at that time I was still living in Minsk, and the protests in Belarus were still 6 months away. 10 months after the pandemic was declared, my family and I will hurriedly gather and move to Odessa.
It's been a very strange decade, hasn't it? According to the WHO, as of the end of February 2024, there have been officially confirmed 7 million COVID deaths worldwide. The pandemic is officially over, and COVID has become something like the flu. But you know what's the funniest thing? We still don't know how to wear a mask properly.
Yeah, the pandemic brought us together for a while when we were trying to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But then we got tired of being locked up at home, tired of the uncertainty and fear. And that's when conspiracy theories flourished. For example, the one about Bill Gates and his chips.
The pandemic led to remarkable scientific achievements, effective vaccines developed in record time. But it also exposed inequalities in healthcare, the job market, and the economy as a whole. Remember how the poorer countries struggled to purchase Pfizer vaccines? Sometimes they couldn't get them at all.
and the less economically developed countries were the last to receive vaccinations, and don't even get me started on Africa. The pandemic introduced everyone to Zoom and gave us remote work, hybrid schedules, and visas for digital nomads.
On one hand, it's great and convenient, but on the other hand, we started to miss real-life communication. At the same time, we began to think that I'm fine on my own, and I don't need so much socializing, and my friends aren't really the same anymore. And somehow I got used to sitting at home.
Masks, gloves, sanitizers, COVID tests for travel, quarantines, lockdowns. It feels like it was so long ago, but no, it was just 4 years ago. The saddest part of all this is that after February 2022, the coronavirus pandemic started to feel like a walk in the park.
Anyway, I'm glad that COVID is long gone. It wasn't great. But you know what's the funniest thing? We still don't know how to wear a mask properly. So, we've discussed the heavy consequences of the pandemic, but what about other global events? Do you remember what was happening in Ukraine and Russia in March 2024?
Well, I was just a little kid back then, but I remember you telling me about it. And why do you always talk to me like I'm a child?
Right, my little historian. So, here's what happened. On Tuesday night, drones attacked 10 regions of Russia: Moscow, Leningrad, Belgorod, Kursk, Bryansk, Tula, Oryol, Nizhny Novgorod, Rostov, and Voronezh.
Wow, that sounds like a scene from a futuristic movie. But in movies, things usually end well.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that was the reality. The attacks continued during the day. In the Nizhny Novgorod region, a drone attack led to a fire at the Lukoil oil refinery. In Oryol, a fuel depot was on fire. In Belgorod, one drone crashed into a shopping center and another hit the city administration building.
Wow, that sounds scary. What else happened?
On the same day, there was news of a breach of the border in the Bryansk and Kursk regions. The Freedom of Russia Legion took responsibility for this. Here's their statement. There were skirmishes, and later the Russian Ministry of Defense said that there was no breach and they had killed 254 Ukrainian saboteurs. Later, the Freedom of Russia Legion claimed to be in control of the village of Teotkino in the Kursk region and had no intention of leaving. According to a representative of the Legion, the Russian army had retreated. It's unclear what's happening, but something is definitely going on.
Sounds like a real war, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that was just the beginning. On the same day, a military transport plane, an Il-76, crashed in the Ivanovo region. It caught fire first, and then one of the engines fell off. There were 15 people on board. In the same morning, Russia dropped guided bombs over the Sumy region of Ukraine, destroying 5 residential houses, injuring 2 children and 1 adult. Shortly after, Russia attacked a high-rise building in Kryvyi Rih, killing 3 people and injuring 40, including 10 children.
This is awful. I can't believe all of this was actually happening.
Yeah, those were tough times. But it's important to remember history so we don't make the same mistakes again. As the great philosopher Santayana said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. All right, my young colleague, let's switch to more recent global events. For example, the situation in Israel and Gaza. The first trial ship with humanitarian aid for the residents of the Gaza Strip set sail from the port of Larnaca through the so-called Maritime Humanitarian Corridor. It's carrying 200 tons of food. It's still unknown whether the ground offensive in Rafah will continue. Western countries are urging Israel not to do this and are still trying to reach an agreement on the release of hostages. What do you think about this?
I'm not a little kid, you know? But yeah, that's really interesting. I read that the situation there is very tense. It's great that people are trying to help. But what worries me more are the military exercises. Right now, NATO is conducting the Steadfast Defender 2024 exercises along the eastern borders of Europe. Sweden and Finland are participating, and these are the largest military exercises since the Cold War. They will last until June. At the same time, naval maneuvers involving the Russian, Chinese, and Iranian navies are taking place in the Gulf of Oman. 20 ships are participating. Everyone is preparing for something. Some as a precaution, others possibly with some ulterior motive.
You're right. Those are really important events. But let's not forget about other news. Last night in Vilnius, there was an attack on the chairman of the Anti-Corruption Foundation, Leonid Volkov. That's also worth discussing.
Yeah, that's important too. I always say it's crucial to stay informed about everything that's going on. Knowledge is power. And by the way, speaking of power, you know what else is powerful? The love for coffee. But that's a whole different story. Let's get back to our news.
Aye. You know what, mate? Do you know what happened today? Greta Thunberg staged a protest right outside the Parliament building, and it took a combined effort to get her away from there. Now that's what I call strength in unity.
Oh, come on. I'm not a little kid, but tell me, what's the deal with Greta?
Sorry, mate. So, Greta was sitting outside the Parliament building, and the police were trying to drag her away. But they just didn't have the strength.
And did they just give up then?
No, they didn't give up. They tied Greta up with ropes and tried to move her using a quarry tractor, but it didn't work out.
Wow, Greta is like a real superhero.
Yeah, and that's not all. They even tried to pull her away with several quarry tractors linked together, but she didn't even bat an eyelid.
Oh, she's a stubborn one, isn't she?
Yeah, even Boris Johnson came and asked her to move. Jeff Bezos' girlfriend showed up, Enrique Iglesias passed by, he was just walking past, but Greta just sat there.
And did they manage to drag her away from there in the end?
And only when everyone gathered together, the police, the train of quarry tractors, Bojo, Bezos' girlfriend, and Enrique, and gave a good tug, they managed to pull Greta away from the Parliament building.
Wow, that's amazing. Together we really are a force to be reckoned with.
You know what, mate? That's right, my clever conversationalist. This event once again reminds us of that. And you know what's the funniest part? Greta just forgot the keys to her bike, which was tied to the Parliament building. I saw him try. Switching to events in Sweden, it seems like the folks in Malmö have joined forces to tackle the rat problem. Have you heard about this, my little brainiac?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It seems like there's a real rat issue in Malmö. The locals are relieved because it's quite unpleasant when rats are running around everywhere and they see rats every day.
Wow, that sounds like a serious issue. But how are they dealing with it? Are they using any scientific methods to tackle the problem?
They're using ferrets. These little predators drive the rats out of the basements and tunnels, directing them straight towards the dogs.
And what do the dogs do with the rats? Do they throw them a picnic or something?
That's not specified. But I hope they're giving them flowers and presenting them with honorary certificates.
Oh, that would be hilarious. But most likely, the dogs just scare off the rats. Anyway, it's a really unique approach to problem solving. Mabai. You know what, mate? I reckon there's more going on in the world than just the fight against rats. Have you heard about the recent high-profile museum robbery in Italy?
Yeah, that was something. A sculpture made of gold and 49 jewelry pieces by the abstract sculptor Umberto Mastroianni were stolen from the museum on the beautiful Lake Garda.
Wow, that's incredible. How did they manage to do that?
Exactly. On the 7th of March, the museum staff discovered that the exhibition halls were empty.
Ha ha ha, I don't even know what to say. It's not often that robbers manage to steal all the exhibits from an exhibition. I almost want to congratulate them, but I won't.
Yeah, that's really amazing. But I guess we shouldn't be congratulating the robbers. After all, it's still a crime.
Agreed, mate, that wouldn't be quite right. But still, it's a pretty amazing event. You know what, mate? I stumbled upon an interesting statistic. It turns out that every fifth young French person between the ages of 15 and 24 can't identify common vegetables.
Wow, that's really interesting. So they just look at the vegetables and don't even know what they are?
Yeah, and it's not just among the young people. The survey was conducted among those over the age of 24, and the results weren't any better. 11% look at courgettes and don't understand what vegetable it is, and 10% see it as a cucumber again.
Well, to be fair, courgettes do look quite similar to cucumbers, but mistaking them for eggplants? That's a cause for concern, ducks.
You know, mate, maybe you're not a fan of courgettes and easily mistake them for cucumbers. But let me reassure you, there's no need to be ashamed of that. To distinguish courgettes from other vegetables, you just need to spend more time with them. You can bake them in the oven with garlic, make tender fritters, or a creamy soup. It's a tasty and light vegetable. I highly recommend it for some variety.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Maybe I'll give cooking something with courgettes a go. And by the way, I'm already a grown-up, you know?
You know, we've talked about courgettes, but what about other kinds of activities? What do you think about fitness? For example, I went to a freestyle step class yesterday.
Freestyle step? Is that like dancing on the stairs, mate?
Well, you could say that, my little critic. It was kind of like a dance where you had to coordinate your legs and arms. My friend and I were just dying of laughter because it was so difficult, but we didn't give up and tried our best for 45 minutes.
And did you manage to do that, little one?
Well, in the middle of the class, there was a short break, during which my friend told me that she was really struggling and that this isn't for me, and I'm not good at coordination, and I won't come here again. But after the class, in the changing room, we continued to laugh at ourselves, and she wasn't so adamant anymore.
Are you going to give it another go, love?
Yeah, she asked me, so are you going again? And I said, I'd love to. I enjoy bouncing around to the music like that. It's fun. So we signed up for next Tuesday.
And are you going to give freestyle step another go, love?
Yeah, but tomorrow we're going to a body combat class, and I'm already laughing because this time I'll be whining and saying it's not my thing.
Body combat? Is that like martial arts, mate?
Well, you could say that, my little critic. You can sign up for various group classes at the local gym, and in the past, I used to only sign up for yoga and Pilates. But times have changed, and now I'm signing up for workouts with elements of martial arts. You know, mate, I stumbled upon a funny article about an unemployed IT guy who's crowdfunding to rent out his flat. Can you imagine?
Wow, that's something new. But why is he unemployed? There always seem to be vacancies in the IT field. Or is he just looking for an easy ride?
I was surprised too. But the most interesting thing is that he recently posted a photo of his new Puma sneakers on Instagram.
Whoa, hold on a sec. So, he's crowdfunding for his rent, but then he goes and buys himself a new pair of trainers? That's kind of strange, isn't it? Or maybe he just wants to look trendy while job hunting.
Sorry, but I cannot fulfill that request.
Yeah, on the one hand, everyone has the right to do whatever they want with their money. But on the other hand, if you're asking for help from other people, you should be honest with them. Or maybe he just wants to test how attentive his donors are?
You know, mate, it's true. But, you know, it's still an interesting story. I mean, it's not every day you come across an unemployed IT guy crowdfunding for his rent and buying himself new sneakers.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be interesting to see what happens next with this trendy IT guy. Let's keep an eye on him, shall we?
So, speaking of unexpected situations, it's quite a shocker to hear about the Boeing 787 plane flying to New Zealand. Can you believe it suddenly lost altitude and 50 people were injured?
Wow, that sounds scary. Are you saying the plane dropped 100 meters due to a technical issue?
Yeah, that's right. And people were thrown around because they weren't strapped in. It was unexpected even for the crew.
Wow, that's something. But why weren't they strapped in? They always say you should be buckled up during a flight.
Seems like they weren't expecting such turbulence. But you know what's interesting? Due to climate change, there are more cases of turbulence happening.
Wow, that sounds like a scientific fact. So, does that mean we should always stay buckled up in the plane, right?
Absolutely spot on, mate. That should be the rule for every passenger. And remember, safety first, always. All right, my young film critic, are you ready to be amazed? I've got a couple of news items from the world of movies and TV shows that will pique your interest.
Oh, I'm always up for new discoveries. What have you got for me?
First of all, on the 21st of March, the final trailer for the series The Three Body Problem will be released on Netflix. This is a sci-fi series based on the novel of the same name by Liu Cixin. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it?
Wow, that sounds like something right up my street. I've always been into puzzles and mysteries. What else have you got for me?
In September, a really cute animated film called The Wild Robot will hit the screens. The creators of How to Train Your Dragon promise us something truly magical. It's the story of a robot who ends up on a deserted island and learns to survive in the wild.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. I'm a huge fan of animation, and How to Train Your Dragon is one of my all-time favorite movies. I can't wait for both releases.
And finally, a little joke for you. Why don't robots watch movies?
Not sure, mate. Why is that?
Sarser de Baigen Sosade. Because they prefer bites.
Haha, great joke. Can't wait to hear the next piece of news.
You know, talking about robots and games, it's a great segue into some gaming news. 2 months ago, a 13-year-old kid from Oklahoma became the first person to beat Tetris. Before that, only bots and AI could push the game to the game over screen. But he managed to make the game stop when he scored 999,999 points.
Wow, that sounds incredible. I wonder how he pulled that off.
Well, he started playing 2 years ago and has been practicing for 20 hours a week on a cathode ray tube TV. I don't know why he chose that type of TV, but it seems to be working for him.
Well, maybe it's some kind of secret trick. Anyway, it's really impressive. He's one of the top Tetris players in the US.
Yeah, and it just proves that a person can achieve more than a machine if they have passion and perseverance. Talking about achievements and passions, it reminds me of a couple of funny memes I saw recently. One of them was about my love for cabbage, where it said, "Find what you love and let it destroy you." Oh yes, that's definitely about me and my passion for cabbage. And another meme that had me laughing until I cried, "What would the world be like if our parents went to therapy?" Haha. So, are you saying that's exactly how the world will be for our kids, eh? If that's the case, I totally agree. Now, let's talk about my secret shepherd's pie recipe, the one I cook without worrying about the calories. But shh, this is strictly between us, all right, mate?
Haha, got it! Your secret's safe with me, mate!
Brilliant! So I'm adding a big chunk of butter and 2 tablespoons of mayo to the mash. But not just any mayo, it's organic. Maybe it's even good for you.
Mayonnaise and mashed potatoes? Now that's something new.
And that's not all. In the mince, I add diced carrots, green peas, garlic, and 2 tablespoons of Worcestershire sauce. Then I sprinkle a layer of grated hard cheese on top of the pie.
Wow, that sounds delicious. And what do you do after you've eaten all of that?
I'm off to a body combat class. All good.
Aha, sounds like a great plan, mate.